So, welcome to the Winning with Wellbeing podcast. Today we have Eleftherios Zachariakis, the Nordics regional lead and manager of the client success team at the International Wellbeing Institute. And with over 14 years of experience in the real estate industry, specializing in sustainability and organizational well-being, Eleftherios brings a deep understanding of how the built environment impacts health and productivity. Starting his career in architecture and environmental design, he has worked on a wide range of projects, from corporate offices to large-scale organizational portfolios, helping shape healthier, more sustainable workplaces. And Eleftherios is passionate about advancing well-being and sustainability at scale, creating environments where both people and organizations can thrive. So we have that in common, and that's why I'm so delighted and happy to be able to welcome you to the podcast. Welcome, Eleftherios.
Hi there, thank you for having me here. Hi everyone.
So great. So can you maybe start by telling us a bit about your role and your background?
Absolutely, Miriam, and thank you for the introductions. As you mentioned, I'm a manager of the client success team and a regional lead for the Nordics at IWPI, where I help organizations across sectors implement health and well-being strategies in order to advance their ESG performance through the WELL standard. I'm originally from Greece. My name is a bit challenging, maybe, and have worked in both Sweden and the US, which has given me a broad perspective on workplace well-being. My background in civil engineering and environmental design sparked my passion for creating healthier environments. And over the past 14 years in the real estate industry, I focus on projects that align spaces with both people needs and organizational goals.
Yes, but for those of you who might not be familiar, can you just explain what the International Wellbeing Institute does and a bit about its mission?
Absolutely. The International Wellbeing Institute, or IWPI to make it easier and shorter, is a global leader dedicated to enhancing health and well-being in buildings, organizations, and communities. IWBI's mission centers on the idea that our environments significantly impact our health, happiness, and productivity. Through its WELL standard, IWBI provides a framework for designing and verifying spaces that prioritize human health and wellness. WELL focuses on aspects like air quality, water, light quality, nutrition, and mental well-being, ensuring that built environments support the health of their occupants. With over 74,000 locations enrolled across 135 countries, IWBI's people-first approach is driving a global movement to create healthier, more productive spaces. By redefining how we view the built environment's role in our lives, IWBI is helping organizations and communities understand the value of spaces that enhance human potential and overall well-being.
Wow, and with such a wealth of experience, what trends are you currently seeing in the workplace environment, like in office spaces, but also in work culture?
That's a great question and aligns very much with what IWBI is doing. Workplace trends are increasingly focused on health, flexibility, and sustainability the past couple of years. Organizations are prioritizing health and well-being by improving air quality, natural light, and creating general spaces that support mental health, especially after the pandemic. The rise of hybrid work models is leading to more adaptable office designs that balance collaborative and focused work areas. Also, sustainability and ESG goals are driving changes with a focus on sustainable building practices and inclusive environments. Meanwhile, we see technology and AI as tools supporting these trends by optimizing space usage, managing smart buildings, and providing insights to improve employee experiences, helping workplaces become healthier, more efficient, and adaptable.
Yeah, it really true. It sounds like it's driving towards a more sustainable future. which I think is great. And as you mentioned, I think there's a lot of things that has happened after the pandemic, and especially as workplace increasingly adopt hybrid models. How do you see this shift impacting the future of work globally?
We've seen that the adoption of hybrid work models is transforming totally the future of work globally in several impactful ways. Let's see a couple of these ones. So firstly, hybrid models reduce the need for large centralized traditional offices, leading to more flexible, decentralized workspaces. Companies are shifting towards smaller hubs or co-working spaces designed for collaboration, while remote work is used for focused individual tasks. Another thing we see is that by allowing employees to choose the way they work, the place they work, hybrid models provide greater work-life balance. They reduce commuting stress and boost job satisfaction. This flexibility is becoming a key factor in attracting and retaining talent. Another aspect we see is that organizations can now hire talent from anywhere in the world, leading to more diverse and inclusive teams. This work from anywhere approach expands access to skills and perspectives, but also requires new strategies for building cohesive, connected teams. Another aspect we see with hybrid work is that it relies heavily on technology for seamless communication and collaboration. Investments in digital tools, secure networks, and lately AI-driven solutions are crucial to support productivity, manage remote teams, and also optimize hybrid spaces. And lastly, we see the shift demands a move from a traditional management to more trust-based, outcome-focused leadership. Organizations must foster an inclusive culture that engages both in office, but also remote employees, ensuring equal access to opportunities and a sense of belonging. Overall, hybrid work is redefining the global workplace by making it more flexible, more inclusive, and also technology-driven, but also emphasizing well-being and broadening access to global talent.
I think that's a really great summary of some of these trends that the hybrid workplace is creating. But there are also some new directives and standards that are driving workplace development in Europe and around the world. So can you tell us a little bit more about those?
Absolutely. This is a very hot topic. And the past couple of years, especially in Europe and the European Union, we see new directives and standards that are reshaping workplace development, not just in Europe, but also globally. And they focus on sustainability, health, well-being, and inclusivity. More specifically here in Europe, frameworks like the European Sustainability Reporting Standards under the Corporate Sustainability Reporting Directive require organizations to provide detailed disclosures on their ESG performance. ESG stands for Environmental, Social, and Governance. This is driving companies to adopt more sustainable practices and strengthen their social and governance strategies within the workplace. At the same time, there is a growing emphasis on health and well-being in the workplace. Organizations are increasingly adopting standards and promote healthier environments, such as those provided by the WELL standard. This includes improvements, as mentioned before, in air quality, lighting quality, mental health support, and ergonomic design. And these are making workplaces more appealing and supportive by prioritizing employee well-being. To help organizations align with these evolving requirements, tools like the newly launched WELL and ESRS alignment tool enable companies to integrate the WELL standards, health-focused strategies, with the ESRS sustainability mandates, providing this way a cohesive approach to meeting both sets of objectives. Overall, these developments are driving a shift toward healthier, more sustainable, and inclusive workplaces, setting new standards for future of work worldwide.
Thanks for that explanation. And it's really good to understand that these directives and standards that are being developed on a European or even global level is like helping us move towards something that's more sustainable and a lot more focus on well-being. So that's really, I think that's a really good trend, and I'm happy to learn that there is so much work going on in that part.
Definitely.
Yeah, but then in your opinion, what parameters are most important to measure when assessing workplace environments? And that could be both like physical, but also softer aspects.
That's a great question. And that's actually a topic that I have close to my heart, having a background as an environmental designer and as a consultant for many years before joining IWBI. As you mentioned, there can be actually parameters in both physical and software aspects. So let's take one each time. So from a physical standpoint, two of the most crucial parameters, I'd say, are air quality and acoustics. Good indoor quality is fundamental. We've seen that as well during the pandemic. This includes proper ventilation as main requirements, optimal carbon dioxide levels, and also minimizing pollutants. Poor air quality can lead to health issues, we know that, but also fatigue and reduce cognitive function, which directly affects productivity. Alongside air quality, I would say that acoustics is another critical element. Excessive noise or poor sound management, all these can lead to distraction, stress, and also decrease concentration. By managing monitoring both air quality and acoustics, a workplace organizations can create an environment that supports focus, comfort, and overall well-being for their employees and users. Let's talk and think now about the software side of the things. I would say that one of the most important factors that I'd like to highlight is the employee satisfaction and engagement as one of the most important parameters. Regular surveys and feedback mechanisms are key to understand how employees feel about their work environment, their level of engagement, and their overall job satisfaction. These insights that we can gather are invaluable because they help organizations identify areas that need improvement, whether these can be better communication or more flexible working arrangements or even wellness programs. Engaged employees, we know they are more productive, they're more likely to stay with the company and generally contribute to a healthier workplace culture that affects everyone else. If we focus on these areas, as mentioned before, the technical ones like air quality and acoustics and then employee satisfaction, I think we can address all the tangible and intangible elements that contribute to a thriving workplace, as we call it. It's about creating an environment that not only supports the physical health of employees, but also fosters a sense of engagement, satisfaction, and overall well-being.
Yeah, thank you for sharing that. And I can only agree. I mean, I also work a lot with supporting our clients in really looking at employee engagement and seeing also which factors that contributes to more well-being. And we also include questions about the physical work environment, such as actually level of noise and temperature, because it does have an impact on our ability to be productive. So I think it's so important that we do understand that it is both the physical work environment and the more social work environment that together sort of creates the optimal workplace where we can thrive.
Exactly. And I'm pretty sure you have a lot of experience from the practical side of things as working on this topic. And I'm pretty sure I may have heard some of your previous guests on your podcast sharing some of this information. So I really encourage other listeners today to go back to your other episodes and see some very interesting outcomes of these surveys and how companies are working with the surveys and what actually people need.
Yeah, thank you. Yeah, it's really a great way to identify where to prioritize, because I think that's the challenge many companies face. Like, they know they want to do well. They really want to support their employees to be happy and satisfied and thriving, but where to start? And I think that's where I really enjoy the work, when I can come in and support them in understanding where to put the effort in. And another, but I was curious about your opinion on here, talking a little bit about more the future work, and human sustainability is becoming a really hot topic. But how do you define it, and why is it important in today's work environment?
Thanks for raising this question. That's a very interesting topic. As we're talking a lot about health and well-being, social sustainability, human sustainability in general. So it may be actually quite interesting to define all these different aspects and how we can actually work to support these needs. So when it comes to human sustainability, it's about creating workplace environments and practices that prioritize the long-term well-being, health and development of employees. It focuses on ensuring that people are not just surviving in their jobs, but also thriving physically, mentally, and emotionally. This involves providing safe working conditions, promoting a work-life balance, supporting mental health, and offering opportunities for personal and professional growth. In today's work environment, human sustainability is very important, because it directly impacts the employees' engagement, productivity, and retention. When organizations invest on their people's health and well-being, they create a more motivated, resilient, and innovative workforce. It's not just about avoiding burnout or turnover. It's about creating a culture where employees feel valued and empowered to do their best work. While human sustainability focuses on the individual, it is closely linked as well to the broader concept of social sustainability. Let's see how social sustainability can be better defined. Social sustainability encompasses on creating inclusive, equitable, and supportive systems within a company or organization, and also the communities they impact. It covers areas like diversity, equity, and inclusion, fair labor practices, and ethical governance, ensuring that all employees have equal opportunities to succeed and that the organization contributes positively to the society. So the WELL standard and how we work at IWBI is a great example of how organizations can advance both human and social sustainability. It provides a framework for enhancing the health and well-being and inclusivity of workplace environments through strategies that address equality, lighting quality, mental health, and community engagement, among others. Furthermore, our WELL and ESRS alignment tool helps organizations integrate these strategies with the European Sustainability Reporting Standards, aligning the workplace practices with broader ESG goals. In summary, human sustainability, and in a few words, is about investing in the people who drive an organization's success, while social sustainability ensures that these efforts contribute to a fair and equitable society. Both are essential for creating a sustainable and thriving workplace in today's world.
Yeah, that's really a good way to explain both human sustainability from the individual perspective, and then social sustainability, which is the bigger, wider community perspective, and that both are important. And, you know, some say it always starts with the individual. If we can, every one of us can be healthy and have good mental and physical and social health, that also enables us to contribute to our to our society and be part of this community. And I think companies are great ways, like they are small communities that can really foster this and support employees to thrive, because it is a challenge in today's like fast-paced world and so many demands and so many changes. I think we've all experienced that, like since the pandemic, there's been so much uncertainty in the world. And then to talk about sustainability and how we can support each other. And I think it's great with your work and that you're really making a point of this is a strategic work. It's not just something that sounds good on a piece of paper, but this is actually how do we work with the standard is like how we support the organization to do this in a very like structured, strategic, long-term approach, which I truly believe in. So maybe what advice would you give to employers who want to create a relevant and sustainable work environment?
Well, it's a good question, and that depends as well on each type of employers, right? Each company is very unique and very different, also based on the sector they are, the location, and even the way they work with hybrid working, like from every angle in the world. But some very basic advice that I would give in general, and each one of these may apply in a different way for each client, could be for employers looking to create a vibrant and sustainable workplace. And my advice would be to firstly focus on health and well-being. What that means, to create a space where employees feel good, as simple as that. And when saying good, I mean physically and mentally. That includes to have something that is very basic: fresh air, natural light, comfortable setups, and wellness programs that make people feel cared and energized. Secondly, I would advise companies and employers to embrace flexibility. Employees value flexibility, especially coming outside of the pandemic. Give them choices in how, when, and where they work, whether through hybrid models or flexible hours. The more freedom, the more loyalty and productivity you'll see. Thirdly, build sustainability into everything. Go beyond being green by creating a social and sustainable culture that values diversity, inclusion, and community. Make sustainability a core part of your brand and how you operate daily, not as being a different a goal setting in your company, but being integrated. Scale up with well. You can consider using frameworks like the WELL standard, and especially WELL at scale, to ensure that health and well-being are a consistent part of your workplace DNA across all locations as an organization rather than just one building or interior. It's a great way to show commitment and drive positive change everywhere, independently where your employees and your staff are located, based, and their background. And lastly, listen up. Keep things fresh by listening to employees, as I mentioned before, about surveys, and communicating with each other. Have regular feedback and adaptability. Keep your workplace dynamic, relevant, and a place where people want to be, either physically or virtually, as a workplace. I believe by mixing these elements based on its employer's needs, you not only create a sustainable work environment, but one where people thrive and love coming to work every day. And when I'm saying coming, once again, either virtually or physically, but they're happy to start working with their tasks.
Yeah, it's like this feeling, like you wake up on the Monday and like, yes, I'm ready for work. You know, that's
exactly
that's the feeling you want your employees to have. Like, I'm so glad the weekend is over so I can get back to some great work. No, but I know I can only, I mean, obviously I agree that focus on health and well-being is key. That's what I truly believe in. And I've seen the results as well. But then I think it's really interesting that you say, like, listen up. And the key to really listen and, in my experience, engage employees in the process. So when you create a more well-being initiatives, that it's based upon what your employees are looking for. So I always include a lot of not only questions about what they want, but also like comment sections to really understand more deeply what they are dissatisfied with, what they want more of, or what they're happy with. Because I think it's when we listen that we can really make the right choices. And it also makes it much easier. So I don't have to come up with all the answers because the employees already know what they want. So for me, it's more about setting up the right structure, doing the workshops, doing the data gathering to be able to facilitate really interesting conversations and getting everyone on board and get everyone sort of excited that, yes, we're going to transform our workplace into this modern, thriving workplace, and we're going to build a culture around this. And when you involve people, that's like that creates that energy that you want to get people excited, and they want to be a part of this, and they also feel very proud that they can impact their work in this way.
Exactly. And as you mentioned, I totally agree that you don't need to find solutions for everyone. You just need to ask them. And sometimes I believe people may not have thought about their needs and the solutions, but by making sure that you're asking and asking more and being open, you can actually give people and the employees opportunity to think about what may work or not, instead of just asking them if they're happy, yes or no. So I think listen up, discussing, communicating is a great way to focus on creating sustainable work environments. So looking forward to hear more practical examples in your podcast through your other previous and future guests.
Yeah, I have a few clients of mine who's in the podcast, like Accenture and Scandic, and so it's feel free to listen in. And actually, key there has always been to sort of build the well-being program based upon employee insights. So I think that's very different companies, but like the same framework. It start with analyzing and listening, and start from there. But so your organizations offer a unique certification. But what does this certification entail, and how does it benefit organizations?
Absolutely. So let me give some overview on how the WELL Standard and IWPI started their journey almost 10 years ago. The first product and program, so I can say, it was the WELL certification, and offered by the International World Building Institute, provides a comprehensive framework of over 100 evidence-based strategies that organizations can implement to enhance the health, well-being, and performance of their spaces. These strategies or features, as they're called in the WELL Standard, spans a wide range of factors, such as mentioned before, air quality, water, lighting, movement, comfort, and mental health that directly impact the day-to-day experiences of the people inside buildings. When pursuing WELL certification, organizations commit to a people-first approach that goes beyond aesthetics and functionality to prioritize the health and well-being of their employees and visitors as well. The certification process involves a rigorous third-party verification, ensuring that spaces meet high standards that are proven to promote physical and mental health, improve productivity, and foster a positive organizational culture. For organizations, well, certification offers numerous benefits, and just mentioning a couple of those ones, is enhancing employee satisfaction and retention, to improving overall productivity and reducing health costs. It demonstrates a commitment to creating healthier, more supporting environments, which can attract top talent, build trust with stakeholders, and position the organization as a leader in sustainability and corporate sustainability. In essence, WELL certification not only improves the quality of the built environment as a building, but also supports the broader goal of a healthier, more engaged, and more productive workforce. So it's about seeing a building, a location, through a person's, an employee's perspective.
It does sound really interesting. And I think getting this certification is also like a stamp, I guess, that like we are an employer who really take this seriously and we really work towards this. And I would say that that also strengthens like their brand, especially their employer brand. Like I would look for this to understand if a company is serious about well-being or if it's just something they say, you know, is make a difference if they work with those standards.
Exactly, because it's one thing to say and claim something, and it's a bit different to have gone through a specific rigorous process that is third-party verified through performance verification and on-site testing as well.
It would be interesting to understand, how does a company go about obtaining this certification and what are the requirements?
So to obtain a WELL certification, organizations follow a couple of key steps. So they start with a registration of their project with us, so they can begin their certification process and get access to our platforms and our resources. Then their team, that is often being led by a WELL AP, a WELL accredited professional, start the assessment and planning. So they start with evaluating the current environment against the WELL's features, that are over 100 strategies across this concept categories, as mentioned before: air, water, light, comfort, mine, and community. Based on that one, they develop a plan to meet these features. The third phase is to start implementing all these chosen strategies to create this healthier environment, and focus on building design firstly, and then operations and organizational policies. Fourthly, is a verification, as mentioned, that is the big differentiator. A third-party assessor reviews the project through on-site testing and documentation to ensure it meets WELL criteria. So there is testing involved in terms of air quality, water quality, light, thermal comfort, and so on, and also surveys on how employees experience all these needs during the course of the years. Finally, this is how you obtain the certification. If requirements are met, the project achieves the WELL certification, and it can be in levels ranging from bronze to platinum based on the extensive of strategies that they've been applied. Another important part is to maintain the certification, and projects must be recertified every 3 years to ensure continued adherence to WELL standards. So as every year passes, Projects actually need to see that the way that their occupants are experiencing them and the building operates and the organization policies are met are being audited, assessed by the occupants. And that can be the requirement for them to continue the recertification and having the opportunity to keep and obtain their WELL certification. I think this is a very important part to work between the certification and the recertification and adapt to the changes in what how the occasions are.
Yes. Oh, no, thank you for explaining that process. And it sounds pretty straightforward. And I also definitely see the benefit of keeping this fresh and relevant to do the recertification every 3 years, because the situation changes so rapidly, and especially to keep listening to the employees is not something you do every third year, but that's something you do continuously to really embed also these insights in a way that you can develop your company. So that is all very good. And what does it mean to be an approved provider? Something that Omla has recently become.
Absolutely. And thanks for asking this question. So first of all, congratulations for becoming an approved provider and having Omla actually go through a review of your methodology and becoming recognized by IWPI as a trusted partner that helps organizations implement WELL strategies. Approved providers like Omla are vetted by IWPI to ensure they have the expertise to support companies in achieving and maintaining both WELL certifications and WELL ratings in specific survey-related features. Omla specializes in occupant surveys, which are crucial for several WELL features that focus on enhancing occupant experience and well-being. Our work aligns with WELL's approach to using data-driven insights to create healthier, more supportive environments, positioning us as a valuable platform for organizations aiming to enhance their spaces through WELL. So organizations that work with WELL certifications and they have chosen to work with features related to surveys, occupant surveys, and data management, they can actually get partner with you that you can actually support them on doing this the way that the WELL standard requires, so they can keep on optimizing the occupant surveys policies year by year and being able to continue with the recertification.
Yes, and I'm so happy that we are being an approved provider. I think it means a lot to me that I'm able to do this work even more in alignment with the best practices that's available and based upon all the research that's being done by the WELL Institute, that we can support that to happen. And we're really happy to be able to become involved in projects with your clients that are, as you said, seeking to have more surveys done as part of the way of working with these questions. So we're really happy that this is now really fresh, approved, and that we can collaborate closer with your clients. And for anyone interesting to learn what that means, please reach out to me, and I'm more than happy to give a demo of our survey tools and how we work. But if listeners would like to know more about WELL, what's the best way to get in contact?
For anyone interested in learning more about the WELL standard, the best way to get in contact is to visit our wellcertified.com. There you can explore resources, case studies, and get in touch with us, our broader team. You can also follow WELL on LinkedIn or Instagram. for updates and insights and how the standard is being applied globally. And of course, if you'd like, you can always reach out directly to experts or consultants in your area who are working on WELL projects. So there is a functionality about WELL project and people directory in our homepage. So you can find WELL accredited professionals and survey providers like Omla, who can actually support you with getting to know more about WELL and the WELL standard.
Yeah, thank you. That was really clear. And I hope that you who've been listening in find this really interesting. And I would really encourage you to just explore some of the resources that you can find on wellcertified.com. There's so many reports. And if you are looking for evidence, maybe to present to your leadership team or to someone who doubts the benefits of working with well-being, then there's a huge reference material based upon ROI calculations and so on, really about the impact and the value it brings, both to individuals but also to companies and the community. So Eleftherios, it's been great talking to you. I'm so happy to have you on the podcast. I think this is such an interesting area and so happy that you took the time to answer some of my questions.
Absolutely, Miriam. Thank you very much for inviting us here and having us sharing about the WELL standard and how organizations can promote health and well-being in workplaces. It was very fun to catching up with you and chatting on these topics that you're supporting. So thank you for supporting this movement.
Thank you. I'm so happy to be part of it. And thank you who's been listening. I hope that you became inspired and I wish you a beautiful day ahead. Thank you and bye for now. Thank you for listening to this episode, and I hope it gave you some inspiration of how you can continue to bring more health and well-being into your organization. And this is something that I'm so passionate about, and I would love to connect with you. So please connect on LinkedIn or send me an email on miriam@omla.se if you want to have a conversation regarding how to create a thriving workplace. And make sure to hit subscribe or rate this podcast so you get information about new episodes. With that, I wish you a wonderful day and best of luck in your well-being initiatives.